A reading from Mark. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him,
"Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you."
And he said to them,
"What is it you want me to do for you?"
And they said to him,
"Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory."
But Jesus said to them,
"You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?"
They replied,
"We are able."
Then Jesus said to them,
"The cup that I drink you will drink, and with the baptism which I am baptized you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared."
When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them,
"You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it's not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many."
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
What does it mean to be great? I recently spent some time with a group of elementary children at a children's retreat, and I asked them this question. They said, "It means to be kind and to listen. It means to love and care for one another. It means that we don't give up." One first grader named David said, "You are great if you are running to an ice cream truck and you let other people go in front of you." I mean, that's a really great person. I'm not sure if it's because I'm a jaded adult living in a world where we don't often use these definitions to define great, but these answers were surprisingly refreshing. This word great is elusive. It's one of those words that has hundreds of meanings, and we use it in so many ways. The dictionary says it can mean large in size, such as a great cloud of smoke, or someone famous or important, like the great Babe Ruth. We use it to describe someone as being very talented or successful, or to say something is enjoyable, such as, "I'm having a great time." We exclaim that someone is doing a great job, and we even use it in a sarcastic way. "Well, that's just great." Our culture has its own ways of defining greatness. Success, wealth, fame, power. Often it's associated with seeking ambition and our own benefit and glory at the expense of others. Social media says you're great if you go viral. Maybe. That depends. And the American dream implies you are great if you have a great salary, you live in a great neighborhood with great schools for your kids. Sometimes great is associated with a certain skin color, nationality, or religion. The question, "What does it mean to be great?" might cause us to ask a different question. Who do we think and consider to be great? In our story today, we hear Jesus define this word very clearly. He says to be great is to be a servant of all people. And not only that, but a servant who is willing to sacrifice. Jesus is with the 12 disciples traveling on the road to Jerusalem. He's just told them for the third time that he's going to suffer and die when they get there, but they have not let this news sink in. As they are walking along the dusty road, James and John, sons of Zebedee, shuffle up to Jesus to ask him a question, looking behind them to make sure the others are out of earshot. They start by saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." I mean, as a parent, I have to laugh at this request. What? You want me to do whatever you ask of me? Who do you think I am? Your servant? But not Jesus. I imagine a smirk on his face and a raised eyebrow as he responds to these two brothers and says, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they boldly ask for the highest places of honor, to sit on his right and on his left as he comes into his glory. They're still imagining an earthly kingdom and places of honor based on power and privilege. They don't understand that does not define Jesus' glory. Jesus' face fills with compassion as he sees deeply into their misguided yearnings, and he knows their hearts. He asks them, will they be able to drink the cup he will drink? Will they be able to endure the suffering that will be required of his followers? They say they can, and he says, "You will," for he knows that eventually they will have to walk this road of suffering. Well, when the other 10 catch on to this little side conversation, they are mad. Now, are they mad because James and John don't quite get the true definition of greatness? No, they're jealous. They want those places of honor for themselves. And two of their closest friends have just tried to get ahead and cut them out of the plan. Jesus, always the good teacher, puts his hands on their backs, gently gathering them to circle up and listen. He contrasts those who are great because they are rulers and tyrants with what greatness looks like among his followers. "Among you," he says, "whoever wishes to be great must be a servant." And he tells them once more who he really is. He's not here to be that kind of powerful ruler, served by others. He is the suffering servant, willing to give everything for the liberation of all people. The author of Mark uses this occasion to remind those original listeners of their own experiences with rulers who lord their power over them and act like tyrants. These first followers of Jesus were no strangers to persecution by those in power. It could cost them their lives if they were going to continue following in the way of Jesus. For the great ruler of their day was the one who prioritized people with power over those with none, used control and oppression to get ahead, and did not view each individual as valuable, especially anyone who was different. "Not so among you," Jesus says. In contrast to this type of ruler, Jesus implies that we must use power differently to help all people, because every individual is worthy. But what the author does here is interesting. James and John's small, seemingly innocent desire for glory is compared with that of the rulers of their day, as if to say, our definition of greatness must start in our hearts and in our motivation. In their search for honor and power, they weren't much better than the tyranny they lived under. They were fearful and desperate to cling to what hope they had that Jesus would provide for them a future of security, not sacrifice. Jesus had tried to show them his way, God's way, but they didn't get the message. Now, before we shake our heads at those dense disciples, we have to wonder, do we get the message? How different are we from those two sons of Zebedee? How have I left someone out when I'm trying to get ahead? How do we make sure we are first in line, have the best, or use our influence to get what we want for ourselves and our small circle of loved ones? And in the process, do we always consider how our actions might be pushing someone else out? Maybe someone who doesn't have the same amount of influence. In our quest for greatness, who do we include and who do we exclude? Recognition, wealth, being the best. We might want a lot of things that we're not admitting out loud. And while we may not see ourselves as tyrants, we still have a lot to learn about what it means to be great by Jesus's definition. At the children's retreat, I asked the kids, why do you think we search after these examples of greatness? And as always, they gave me very insightful answers. To get better treatment, to get more things, to get attention, to have a bigger ego. They said that. To feel important, to be included. We have a tendency to look at our culture and think that this definition of greatness is all messed up and gotten so much worse in recent years, and this is probably true. But the real truth is our misguided desire for the darker side of great is as old as time. The human condition is with us to stay. But Jesus says, not so among you. He calls us to something different, and we must make a choice if we're going to count ourselves as those who say we follow him. There are times we might be called upon to make a great sacrifice in the name of service to Christ. Katie Davis Majors, author of the book Kisses from Katie, was a 19-year-old woman from Tennessee who left behind all the standard comforts of middle-class American life to become a missionary in Jinja, Uganda. She ended up adopting 14 little girls, as she also began Amazima Ministries, which provides the opportunity for hundreds of children to get an education, medical attention, meals, and the chance for a healthier life. Although her book tells the story of a woman who is truly great, Katie reminds her readers that we don't have to sell our stuff and move to Africa. She says we can be a missionary right where we are, because we all need the same things, and we have the same hopes and dreams. People are people, she says. We all need food and water and medicine, but mostly we need love and truth and Jesus. I can do that. We can do that. The same God created all of us for a purpose, which is to love, serve, and care for God's people. We can't do it in our own strength, but God can make the impossible happen. Through big ways and small, we are called to serve and to sacrifice. This might look like a person taking care of someone with a contagious disease, or a teacher having daily patient love for a student in class who is exceptionally troubled. It might look like a child who gives up their free time in class to help another student who doesn't get the assignment. Or a teenager who chooses to spend time with a refugee family as one of their extracurricular activities. There are innumerable ways on a daily basis to live into Jesus' definition of what it means to be great. Carlo Coretta was a member of the Little Brothers of Jesus, a community of brothers choosing to live the contemplative life in the Sahara Desert. He tells a wonderfully honest story about service and sacrifice during his time there. He says, "In our community the other day, there wasn't much coffee. Coffee does me good down here in the desert. It helps me. I am old. I was worried about not having any, about spending a few hours feeling dull and weak. And so, without perceiving the evil I was doing, I went in the kitchen before the others, and I drank up all that was left. It seems a tiny thing, yet in that cup of coffee taken and not shared with my brothers is the root of all evil which disturbs us, the poison of all the arrogance which selfishness, riches, and power create. The difference between me and Jesus is right here. In an affair that seems simple but isn't at all, Jesus would have left the coffee for his brothers. I excluded mine." We've all made a similar choice. We might be shaking our heads at ourselves now. But the disciples always give us hope because, as human as they were, Jesus never gave up on them. And in the end, they did choose to give their lives in faithfulness to the message of Christ. Jesus gives us a lifetime to examine our motivations and our choices in light of our desire to follow him. Every day, we can remember Jesus' words, "Not so among you." And we can count ourselves as present day disciples. It takes patience and courage and the developed discipline to make conscious daily decisions that are awfully costly but add up to greatness. As Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Everybody can be great because anybody can serve." And what we find in this way of Christ is that it leads to true life and true joy. Jesus brought liberation through his sacrificial service, and God is still bringing liberation to all people through all of those who serve in God's name of love. And when we join God in the midst of this, we find what it means to be truly great. Today is Children's Sabbath. We've already heard so many of the insightful thoughts that our children have to offer us. I wonder, what is it that we most deeply want to teach our children about what it means to be great in this world? At a child's baby dedication here at Broadway, we as a congregation, when proclaiming what we hope for this child, we say these words: "We look forward to the day when this child will proclaim their faith in Jesus Christ, gather with us at the Lord's table, and serve Christ through the church." This is our hope, that our children would be lifelong followers of Jesus, loving and serving God and neighbor. What does it mean to be great? Our children are already teaching us. It means to be kind and to listen, to love and to care for one another, and don't give up. Jesus teaches us also, as we learn together and find what it means to be truly great through loving and serving God's children. And let's not forget to let others go first when it comes to the really important things in life, like ice cream and coffee. Amen.